Just a thought. We are living in a time when all hands have to be on deck. We have to be prepared and ready to fight against forces seeking to return us to a time when America was not for everyone. We must speak for ourselves while delivering a clear message to the world. No longer can we focus on just our own individual success. Those of us that have found or created a path must use every vehicle available to us to help others see the light. We must inspire those who are lost and demoralized. We must find a way to speak to each other while expressing our own opinions. People of color must use the internet to expand our reach beyond our communities and find solutions to the issues that plague our neighborhoods. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections need you to schedule some time to share your opinions on live radio. My show wants you to carry your message beyond just a few city blocks. We want you to know that your personal issues and economic concerns and life beliefs are important to the world. I am the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, James C. Deshay, and we want you to be a part of this new movement. We want you to be ready and prepared to share your opinions with everyone throughout our hour and a half long show, 7 days a week. Please call into the show every day, 657-383-0309, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Your voice needs to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. We must raise sand in a way that serves notice. A movement is coming. White America will share the bounty that is created from the investment of the past, present, and future from this day forth. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshay.com, and I look forward to you calling into the show every day.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is James C. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week. We want you to be here Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We're here so that your voices can be heard loud and clear. It's important that we make sure that we are able to convey the thoughts and feelings we have about the things that are going on in our country and our world. We have to be on deck and make sure that people completely understand what it is that we're feeling and the direction we want to go in. We want to be a positive force in our country. We want to be a positive force in our neighborhoods and our communities, and it requires that we talk about things and get a complete understanding of what's going on in our world. I'm going to take a short break, as I always do in the very beginning, in order to get everybody an opportunity to get on the show.
Drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song. but he just kept right on slapping my face with his finger, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song. He sang as if he knew me in all my dark despair, and then he looked right through me as if I wasn't there, and he just kept on singing, singing clear and strong, drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, I have to tell you that my head has been bouncing all over the place related to what we would talk about today. And then I just grasped a hold of something that I have to be honest, and I have to go on record, that I'm concerned about. You know, image is everything. And what we promote is important. As African Americans, we need to be very concerned about what we promote about our communities, what we promote about our children, what we promote about the icons that exist in our nation, in our world. We need to give thought to what people think about when they see and hear us. And so I just want to ask the question about how do you think the Oscars served us? You know, and I know that a lot of people will say, well, you know, they're damned if they do and damned if they don't. And I'm saying that to myself as well, because Sunday when I looked at the Oscars show, I was just so pleased and happy that we were represented, and there were so many of us in the audience, and there were so many of us just receiving awards, and so I was just pleased about what took place. And then today, when I looked into and gave some thought about what things were honored and the way they were honored, I then question if we are really being served the way we should be served. And I want you to know, I want to be able to grow from this conversation. I want you, if you truly believe that I'm wrong, to help me better understand what positive things came out of this and how we need to accept the rewards as they are given and not question why they were given. And so I'm just going to put it out there, and I want you all to give me your thoughts about what is going on in the movie industry, and are we being served properly by those who are evaluating the movies and giving out the awards? Okay, here is my concern about the movie industry. I'm concerned that we are not being, not enough positive roles are being given to people of color, and that we are only getting rewarded on some of the items that betray us in questionable ways. And I want you all to tell me if I'm wrong. But when I looked into, and I never go to the movies by myself, so I have to admit that, and I had to go back and Google the movies to see what they were about. And when I Googled Moonlight, and I saw that it was about an African-American male who was struggling with his sexual identity, and he was being raised by a crack-addicted mother, and he found his way out of the terrible neighborhoods of Miami. And then I went to wondering, why are we constantly being portrayed as crack addicts? Why are we constantly being portrayed in ways that don't show us as positive male role models? And is this another dart that is being thrown at us and another stereotype that's being served when this award was given to Moonlight? And then I looked at the trailer of Hidden Figures and how these women were the most educated women there were and how powerful they were. And why couldn't have that gotten the best picture? And then even Fences, you know, where you have the struggle. We know that black families are out there struggling, but this man was a strong, powerful man, and he took care of his family. And that was important. And so when I look back and I went back and I thought about the kind of movies that got awards, it always seems like the worst portrayal of African Americans got awards. Precious, Training Day, and the likes. And so I'm just concerned about when we do get an opportunity to participate, are we still being treated fairly, or are there roles out there that portray us in a positive light, given an opportunity to show us in a more positive way? I'm concerned about that. And again, if you all feel differently, please tell me. I'm just putting this out there, hoping that we can have an honest discussion about how African Americans are betrayed, or should we just be happy that we're in the game? Kathy, I'm going to start with you. Should we just be happy because we were criticizing and complaining last year that we weren't even involved?
Good afternoon, Mr. Deshay, and the rest of the Thoughts, Love, and Reflections family. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I did not watch the Oscars, and nor did I watch Moonlight. And it's as you said before, we are always betrayed, movie where we're crackheads or being beaten or raised in dysfunctional family. So that's Hollywood. That's Hollyweird. That's Hollyweird. That's how they do it in Hollyweird. But, you know, the bottom line is we have to continue to pray for those people. I'm excited for the ones that who did get an Oscar. And then hopefully that they would realize themselves, and I'm sure they are or have, that they received the award not only because it was a best film, but because, you know, how the complaint was last year. So this year, they decided, let's just give some awards out to some people, but not in the in the categories where they are showing a positive impact, but just to give out awards. But again, that's Hollyweird for you. That's how they do. They stand together when they do things. I mean, we see it all the time on TV. When they're against something, they're against something. And when they're for something, they're for something. So that's their little circle of people, but we just have to continue to pray for them.
All right. Dee, what are your thoughts? You know, I'm telling you, I'm just throwing this out at you and asking you to evaluate it, to see it for what it was. Again, Sunday I was all elated about how many black films were participating and they were getting an opportunity to get awards. Then when I went deeper, I saw that there were some discouraging thoughts in my head related to the films that got the awards. What are your thoughts, Steve?
First of all, I want to say good afternoon. And I want to say, James, I love you, and I love you, Kathy. I love Kathy because she always has a positive message. I would hate to see her get upset about something because she's always positive, and I love her for that. But, all right, to your question, sir. You know, first let me say this to the young folk, anybody that's listening. One of the major advantages of living a ripe old age is because you get a chance to see the pattern of things in your lifetime. And so there is a pattern when it comes to this issue. Now, I think Regina said it best last night when we was talking about the night before last, we were talking about something. And she mentioned that how the people in power, and most of the time they are either white or Jewish, that has all the money that put these movies out and that produce these movies and direct these movies and sponsor these movies. Regina said it best when she said that they fear us. They fear what we bring to the table. They fear our confidence. They fear our athleticism. They fear the knowledge that we have. You know, they steal a lot of the inventions that we come up with, and the only reason they're able to steal it because when we invent things, we don't follow through and have it patented. So they steal it. So the issue is that just like the music that's being played, there's a strategy behind it. And the strategy is to keep the younger generation and the people that come behind us, keep them in a mindset where you can't be no more than what that is obviously being portrayed of you. And that's the whole issue in a nutshell. Now that's huge when you look at it in a broad spectrum. It's just like this. Just like this. I mean, excuse the background noise. I work at a truck stop. I'm getting off. Like a circus elephant. You all heard the story. Where you can put a chain around a circus elephant leg and have him staked to the ground. And that little bit of chain will keep him in place. Now, if you were to remove the chain after some time, he'd think he'd get a chain. And he won't go nowhere. That's the same principle. And they are diabolical enough to know how to implement this strategy. And so it's working. You know, like we was talking about a couple of weeks ago how we hadn't got an Oscar in 2 or 3 years. Well, now they give you an Oscar for this kind of screenplay just to shut you up. Huh, take that. You got one. Now which one? And same thing they did with Training Day, which I thought was a great acting part on Denzel's part. But the same thing they did with Halle Berry in that movie that you said that you would never pay to go see, which was one of the worst acting jobs in all times. So it's all done to appease you, to give you something, give you the carrot in front of the stick, just to keep you quiet. But the broader picture is to further oppress you. Hate to say it, the Muslim has said it for a long time. And I don't. When I say the Muslim, I know I speak about the Muslim that we know, the ones that preach the teaching of Louis Farrakhan and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They've been saying it for a long time, but they are so extreme that we kind of tune them out. But that's the strategy. And that's how they do. So thanks for bringing it to the table, Jane. Love you, man.
All right, Andre. I'm going to ask you. You're out there in that part of the world, and I'm just questioning again. Here we are, Moonlight wins Best Picture, but when you dig into it as a Best Picture, we're dealing with a young man who has issues with his sexuality. His mother is a crackhead, and he's trying to fight his way out of South Miami, and the betrayal of African Americans in this light, when you had Fences and you had Hidden Figures, why not choose one of those that betrayed us in a different light? Andre?
Oh, okay. Well, I believe one of the ladies mentioned the Oscars last year where Viola Davis made a statement. She alluded to the fact that we should create more roles for women of color, you know, and things of that nature. Now, regarding the different movies they're making, some of the movies they're making are about the songs that our artists sing. And that's why you see the drugs and et cetera, et cetera. Now, I went to see Moonlight, and I also went to see Hidden Figures. I liked Hidden Figures better, personally. Now, I kind of did some really, really deep, deep thinking with the Oscars, what's going on today in the movie industry, and what's going on in the world. I came to the conclusion that perhaps they chose Moonlight for political reasons, though, because of what's going on in politics. Number one, the Muslims are banned. In certain countries, with Muslims are banned from this country. The first Muslim won an Oscar. There was something in the political arena with gay people where they can only use certain bathrooms. A gay person was in the best picture for the Oscar. Donald Trump's racist. African-American won a lot of Oscars this time. So I kind of like, I don't know if anybody can think like, well, no, you can't think like I think, but I said, I believe that this is going to come out sooner or later, the points that I made, because they are true.
Mm-hmm. True.
And I guess I decided to think outside the box a little bit. You know, and like I say, the movies that are being made, now, the drug, the crack kids, whatever, you know, that movie was made. But on the positive note, we had Fences, we had Hidden Figures, we had Get Out, we had A United Kingdom. Some of those movies are positive movies, and they talk about exactly what's going on today. And that's my answer.
And that's what concerned me, was that you had some good movies that portrayed us in a positive light. And I'm not necessarily saying that every movie has to portray a race of people in a positive light, because we know that there is life. You know, a lot of movies are about real life. And I'm not saying what took place in Miami wasn't real life. I'm just saying there were some African-American movies that were really uplifting, inspiring, and challenging to us as a race of people, as a country, that would have been better. Just like you, I didn't see those three movies, but you saw two of them, and you would have played Hidden Figures, and I would have probably done the same thing after looking at their trailer. So my issue is, why is it that we keep coming up short with these kind of portrayals that African Americans don't like? Training Day, Precious. I'm not saying Precious wasn't a story that needed to be told. I just don't think it was the kind of movie that should have been given an award and highlighted. And so that's my issue. It seems that every time we get an award, it's for something that I believe is not worthy, something that trashes us as a people. Joy?
James. Okay, James, what's going to excite white people about three heroine African-American women? That's not how they see us. They see us like moonlight. They see that's what we're comfortable, if you want to say. At least that's what they think.
Okay, when you look at what had happened, and I agree a lot with Audrey, but you got to realize, too, that Moonlight was paid for, written, and a true story about this guy, those two who accepted that award. It was a low-budget film, which they surprised themselves that they got there. But
that's
that was
true.
The true story. But if you heard his speech, if you heard the guy's speech, He said that it was to show the average blacks, no matter what you go through and what you're dealing with, that you can come out on top. That was the positive that he showed and he told. Now, most of those people that were in that film, they live there, right there in Miami. They had three of those kids on Good Morning America. And what they said that they were, it showed them a lot that they can be somebody, that they don't have to live in and stay in that same environment. So what we're doing, too, is that no white people put that film up, but they did the other film, not Fences, but that other one, that Hidden Figures. I've seen all three of them. But that's what, and if you notice, that film was not brought to light. And the females did not get credit until John Glenn died. You understand what I'm saying? So the timing has a lot to do with everything. But I commend the people for them to select Moonlighting. That was a big step to me. And like Audrey said, it's a lot of it was pinpoint. But most of the people from the Oscar, because that changed, you got a lot of more black people voting now and a lot of people with open-mindedness. That's how they chose that picture this year. Now, I agree with you about Halle Berry. There's no way she should have been winning an Oscar. And to represent me as a black female, there were so many excellent actresses that came before her that never did get the credit. And that's how they saw us as a black woman scoring a white man. And no one ever saw it because I never did go see it. The only thing that I saw was the highlights that was on the Oscar, but I thought that was so pathetic for them to represent, have her to represent who we are as far as acting and our skills. But now Viola Davis, she came to true light. This is who and what acting is all about. As far as the best actor, I think that should have been that Denzel Washington. And the guy, he was so shocked himself. He knew that Denzel should have been deserving of the best actor. So they're not going to give us what we're due. We're going to have to take it. So now what we need for blacks to come forward and to make the accredited pictures that we want to see that positively represent us in a different light. This guy told his story because he lived it. He lived that. That's what he did. That was a true story based on his lifestyle. So we need someone like you, me, and the rest of us who live a different lifestyle. We need for them to step up and put the money up and show the people what we are really like in a different perspective.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm not shooting Moonlight down as a picture because you're right. Those gentlemen worked hard. They did what they had to do to get that picture made, and they will become some outstanding directors and producers as a result of being where they are. But my issue becomes this, is that I just see, it gives me a nasty taste in my mouth when I see what I deem as a pattern of the worst movie done by African Americans being the ones that get awards, and not the good, decent movies that I really think make a statement. Like when Denzel did Malcolm X, you know what I'm saying? That was a picture deserved a award, but it got nowhere close. But Training Day did. When it betrayed him as a drug dealer dealing cop, you know, and so it's just amazing to me that we get thrown under the bus even when we get awards, and that's what I think the betrayal is. I want every African American to work hard and to be given an opportunity to do good movies, but I want us to be portrayed in a positive light sometimes. You can't be portrayed in a positive light all the time, but look like I'm still trying to question what award did we get where we were portrayed in a positive light. Precious was god-awful to me, and not god-awful because of acting, but God also because of the subject matter. That was just a dehumanizing movie. And to watch it is to hurt your spirit. Cassie, your thoughts.
I'm sorry, James, who did you call on?
Cassie, are you there? Go ahead, D.
Well, I just want to thank Audrey and Joyce for clarifying things. I have not seen the trailer, and I did not even watch the Oscars. But to hear that the two gentlemen were rewarded for their efforts is refreshing to know. But you know, James, I'm still on board with you about this pattern thing. Now, I guess we're going to have to kind of wait the next year to see if they are in tune to our feelings about it. Seems as though that only the negative betrayals of us the only ones that again are rewarded. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next year, I suppose.
And then I think we need to have people that can tell a different story. They need to step up and put the money out there and produce those type of movies. This dude cannot tell a story that he didn't know. He told the story of his life. This was his life, and this is the only story that he did it, and he did it on such a low budget. Actually, he didn't even think that it would even make it as far as it did. It was a pure fluke. But then, you know, it became so big, and I'm assuming that a lot of people of minorities and people who could relate to it or whatever, and then a lot of white people like those type of movies because they learned from them, you know, that's what really drew the attention of what that movie, to me, it taught me a lot about us because that's not my environment, so it was new to me. But that lady, she was a drug addict, but she overcame. She cleaned herself up. And then this gentleman, he did something with himself. So, you know, when you look at it, we got to teach our kids that these are positive things that can come out of ugly, dark, dark things, that they're good things. But I would like to see Selma was a good, excellent movie, you know, that type of movie to show true stories and show where we have come in life, you see. Most of the stories that we're seeing is either the drug stories or the story of the struggle. So, okay, I would like to see, and I think this is what you're saying, Jane, we would like to see stories where we have overcome some of the struggles, and this is where we are, and this is where we can be, and this is where you can end up, you see. And we have to look for Atlanta as that's the mecca of the blacks that are really functioning on a higher level. So maybe that's where we have to go to get the mecca of who we are and what we look like as to what we would like to present on the big screen.
Well, I would like to recommend that.
It's okay to tell a true story, but what about the true story that was told when they talked about Martin Luther King and the march across the bridge? You know, those stories didn't get awarded. The story doesn't necessarily have to be a perfect one, but what I'm saying to you is it seems that we got to be a crack-addicted mother. My mama ain't smoked no crack. I don't have one aunt that's on crack. You know what I'm saying? It just seems like, you know, we seemingly want to make that the norm. And it's okay to overcome drugs, but I just don't want us to make for society make that the norm. That's the struggle for all of us. And then I look at things like radio. I don't know if you all remember radio. The young man who had some mental issues. You know what I'm saying? Those stories are get told. But they're not gonna get rewarded. But it didn't show him anybody in crack addicted. But it just showed the struggle of a man going through life. You know, but it just seems that they want us to be murderers, addicts, and dysfunctional. And here you had Hidden Figures that clearly showed us it in a different light. Clearly, Fences showed a man struggling to raise his family. And though they were awarded, why couldn't they have gotten Best Picture?
James, okay, look at it this way. That's a part of the problem with why the world is the way it is today. We are ignorant of each other's ethnicity. If they go to the movies, Hidden Figures or Get Out or let's see what else, Fences, they're going to learn a different side. They may not want to know that side of us because that's the real us. That's a percentage
Good point.
You know, they don't want to know us. We know more about them and we know how to keep them at bay than they know about us.
Right.
Their struggle and their paranoia is the young women, their professional women, they're not having kids. They are a class of a dying breed. You know, and they don't want to know the three mathematicians. They rather see somebody calling us bitches and hoes and smoking a crack pipe.
Exactly. And they love that, and that's how most of them are going to always see us, no matter what we do or what we bring to the forefront. You know, they have planted in their mind as to how they're going to see and how they're going to promote us and make us feel good about ourselves. That's how come we need more black directors. We need more black, you know, to tunnel that money together and put those films out there and just put it out there and teach our kids and teach people a different role as to this is how we are.
Right.
As a people.
It's got to be like...
But if we're waiting for the white man to do that, it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
They're not going to ever try to portray us in a good, positive, in a role better than and make them look good up and equal to them. Never will happen. Not in our day, in our lifetime, not even our kids' lifetime, not in nobody's lifetime. Because
now,
the protocol, they always the cream of the crop, and that's where they always gonna have everyone to see below that.
You're exactly right. And I think Moonlight is going to make some money simply because they are not inquisitive. Why did it win Best Picture?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true.
But the problem to me is, hey, to me, that on a business level, they are still catering to those who are not the majority. If you have the majority of African Americans out there hardworking, dedicated, and law-abiding, why wouldn't you cater to the masses versus catering to a small segment? That just eludes me that they wouldn't see that we would like to see a loving love story. I'm going to have to tell you, I'm going to go on record because I've written two books on poems and poetry about love and your family and the values that I bring to the table because of the way I was raised. And I would love to see a loving love story of African Americans like Love Jones. And I'm not aware of one. And we definitely don't do it on a regular basis. And it just seems that, why do they think that we don't want to see ourselves as good fathers, loving husbands, committed and dedicated family men, hardworking men who go out there and succeed? And there are a lot of African-American men and women out there succeeding every day. So why wouldn't we want to see those stories?
For the same reason. You know, they saw everything that you just described in Michelle and Barack Obama.
Right.
They didn't like that. We're not supposed to be educated enough or behave nicely, if you want to put it that way. We're not supposed
right.
to be that way. We are supposed to be coons out there fighting and all this other crap. And, James, I may be wrong, but when you said it's a very small percentage of us being bad, it may be a little bit bigger than you think with our young people. You know, after with the drugs and whatever.
And those are people going to the movies too. You got to look at who's going to the movies and what they're watching. You know,
exactly.
You got to because people like us, a lot of us people within our age group, we're not going to the theater.
Exactly.
You know, we're not going to the theater. You know, I've been scared to go to the theater ever since that Colorado thing took place. You can't put me in a dog place no more like that, in that type of environment. You know, I just don't want to put myself in that type. So I look at all my theaters and all the movies that I've seen, all the movies, I watch those, you know, in a home environment. I do not go to the movies for movies. So our young people are the ones that still goes to the movies a lot too. So then this is what they probably
but
want
George,
to see more or less.
But they're not catering to the largest segment, and that's my point. If you don't cater and encourage the largest segment to go, and you're only going to cater to the smaller segment, then you're not going to encourage us to go. I think Hidden Figures was a movie that encouraged us to go. I think Fences
yes.
is the kind of movie that encourages you to go.
Right, and that was not sponsored for that. That movie was not sponsored by a black producer. See, we're gonna have to produce what we want to see. Them white folks are producing to you what they want to see. They selling you what they want you to buy. What they want the image of them to be. So if you wanting what you wanting, you want your love stories, you want this, you want that, but we need our people who is in those positions to produce those kind of movies. Because if you waiting on a white director to do that and a white producer, they're not going to put their money there. Just like Audrey said, you saw what we got when we got a black president and a black female, his wife. Mm-hmm. You saw what we got. It's ridiculous. So if we're waiting on them to do better than that, it's not going to happen. We got to do that. We got to put it out there. And then for this guy with the moonlight, he cannot sell nothing that he don't know nothing about. He don't live the lifestyle that we live. So he can only show you what's in his environment, but how he overcome, even though of all the adversities, he had overcome and made something out of himself, and his mom cleaned up her act. You see?
I have a suggestion.
All right, D. Let's hear your go ahead, D.
Thank you. Okay. I think what should happen is the black actors that have arrived, like Denzel Washington, and the actors that play on the TV's Empire,
right,
which is somewhat of a contradiction to my point. But my point is, like, if you all remember Sidney Poitier took a stand, and he let them know that I am not going to play what you want me to play, the character
exactly.
that you all want me to play. So I think that Denzel Washington, for one, is in a very good position to let it be known what our desires are when it comes down to producing these movies. Now, I want to agree with Joyce and Audrey again about the up-and-coming inspiring actors and actresses need to tweak their game up and be aware of. You don't have to portray your environment, just like these rap songs. They think that is the story to be told. But if that's all that you got, then no wonder we're having this conversation.
Exactly.
So they need to be a little bit more creative as an artist. And if you can't be that, then you're not an artist. So, the schools that they're going to, that's teaching them this craft, the instructors need to exemplify that. Be more creative in your art form so you can satisfy the masses and your audience, because we are their audience. Thanks.
That's true. Well said, Dean.
All right,
let
me take a break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Thank you.
is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, it is so wonderful for those of you who call in to give your opinions and your thoughts related to the topics that I share, because I wasn't able to think about some of the politics that are going on in this thought and time. And so now, by selecting Moonlight, you did. I just heard that the I guess I forget the letter combination, but they have also given Moonlight the best movie, and that it covers a whole host of things when you're talking about this transgendered movement. And so here you have a movie that is showing a African-American male struggling with his identity and being able to overcome that struggle. And so that solves a issue with giving them an award. It also gives them acceptance of another, saying, okay, we not only got credit for African-Americans, but now we got credit for the transgender segment. And so here we are giving this award, and it crosses over just one race or gender of people. And so,
right.
But for me, I have issues with how we are portrayed, and I want there to be a committed movement to showing us in a positive light, so that it can be more inspirational to the young people that are out there in our world. And I don't see this crack addicted mother as showing that kind of positive image when millions of mothers are out there raising their families without taking them through that type of situation.
Well, then we have to get involved and change their world, change how they look at the world.
You're right. We have to somehow inundate them with positive role models and positive situations so that they can maneuver around those kind of pitfalls. They don't have to go through that.
Exactly. And James, you brought up the transgender issue, but you elaborated on it. But a big thing, also, don't forget the first Muslim won an award ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big issue with what's going on with the seven countries in the world today.
So they solved a lot of problems with that one award.
Exactly. And I still to this day believe it had something to do with politics, or that will come around. Just like, now this is really going to sound bizarre, just like the opening of the wrong envelope. That guy's going to get fired, or that guy's going to make $1 million, especially if the Oscars in New York next year, because that's what they want to happen, for the Oscars to be in New York next year. So was it a trip up, or was it
I myself don't believe that. I don't believe that was an accident for one moment. Maybe I'm a conspiracy theory, but that seemed like a strange accident to happen to me.
Yeah, because stuff like that just doesn't happen in the Oscars. Well, could the people that wanted to come to New York next year have something to do with this? Like you said,
well,
go ahead, George.
I'm surprised that, in a way, the first thing that I thought would happen, that they was trying to get away with it, to give it to La La Land when they knew that Moonlight had won. But that's why he hesitated so much, and that guy, he needs to get fired. In fact, the whole company needs to get fired. It was ridiculous. And, you know, hey, that's the only job you had to do, and you couldn't do that right, you know, and
exactly.
It was the first time that this black movie supposed to have been winning. You know, it just really real strange to me.
You know, just like the things that I share with you, my thoughts, George, that point that you just now bringing up, it's not over. There's going to be a lot of aftermath with this thing.
Yeah. should be.
But that's one of my questions, too. Now, they won with La La Land. And I'm saying, isn't it ironic the kind of films that they win with versus the kind of films that we win with? You know, I'm going to pay more attention to that and see if win with films that are derogatory for the white race.
I think that that you all have already hit on it, where the pattern is intentional, probably because you know, they want their kids to understand how it is that we are portrayed. You know, they don't like interracial marriages and for their women to have black babies and things like that. So they do all they can to try to deter that. Now I'm not a pessimist, but I am. I'm just actually speaking on reality when I say these things.
Yeah, you're right.
You're exactly right.
And we have to be committed to watching and paying attention, and just not feel as though they are giving us something to make us feel good, but look beneath that to see if there's some underlying reason why our movies that portray us in a good fashion never get awarded.
Yeah. Because we don't produce that many of them, you know. And then let's go back to last year, James. Last year, if I recall, what's her name won for the Help, didn't she, for last year? Is that how she won the award last year? Because it wasn't that many films that were nominated
last year. It was The Help.
Okay.
It was The Help. Yeah,
that was the only. And that's not. Well, I guess it is a black movie, but
no black movie got nominated last year. Are we 2 years removed from that?
Well, we was talking about for the best actor, the supporting actor, she won for The Help.
Was that last year or the year before?
That was last year, wasn't it? Yeah.
No, it wasn't last year. I think last year there were no blacks nominated. No people of color were nominated last
true.
Year.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah, you're right. It was the year before.
That's why the Oscars were boycotted last year, because there was no black film.
Right, all white, yeah.
Yeah, and so, James, let's look at it this way. We had none last year. This year we got how many, 3, 4 nominated?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
And that's why I'm saying, I guess, that the Oscars might say, well, we damned if we do and damned if we don't. We nominated these films. Now you got a problem with the one that won best movie because it portrays us in such a negative light.
Right. Well,
I'm sorry, go ahead, Jane.
But that's no reason for us not to complain. I mean, yeah, we're happy that we got nominated and a lot of people got an opportunity to go on stage. But I can still say I want you to nominate some pictures of us and show us in a more positive role. So I think I can have it both ways.
You know, James.
Okay.
Go ahead, Keith.
I'm sorry. I want to say that I think for the most part we've spent a lot of time trying to appeal to one group of people. And I think where we missed our mark of opportunity is that we should probably spend more time trying to embrace other people in this world, such as the Mexican brother, the Chinese person, you know, people who really like us and who really look up to us and who really admire us. We spend a whole lot of time trying to persuade the other party to accept us. And like somebody just said a moment ago, that's likely not to even happen in our lifetime, because they have entities on the radio all the time. Sean Hannity and what's the other boy's name? Rush Limbaugh. They made a career on trying to betray us in a negative way, and it's working. It's working. Hey, how about the Mexican guy who has adopted the Confederate flag as a hate symbol? A Mexican. So they will indoctrinate anybody they can, anybody that will listen to them, anybody who's not smart enough to read or even think for themselves. Oh, they'll tag them and try to get them to point in our direction as the opposition or the one to be feared. And so, yeah, we got a lot of work to do. But
yeah,
I mean,
we
should spend a lot more time embracing other cultures. Now, I got to tell you that when I was in Atlanta, I used to I would go to the parks and photograph people and put them in a little frame and sell them back to them. And one of my biggest events was the Gay Pride Festival. Because now my point is, you know, when you're in business and Mr. Tillsman is going to find this out, they will spend money with you. But the conservative white person is not going to spend no money with you.
No, they won't.
That's right. They'll call you. They'll call you and try to offer you something where you can spend money with them. But if
they're
going to
steal your idea.
That's
what they're going to do.
Right.
They're going to steal it, and then they're going to go ahead because they got the money to make the investment on it.
That's right. So, y'all correct me if I'm wrong. Now, it was my understanding that a black man actually invented the recipe for Coca-Cola. Are y'all aware of that?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so that's who they are. You know, and again, Farrakhan has been saying it for years, you know, how they are imperialistic and all they want to do is colonize everything they touch, you know. And I'm not a racist. I'm not. But we just as James said, we're just calling a spade. And so you know, they're going to have to come down to they need to come off the high horse a little bit and try to embrace other people other than themselves sometimes. Thanks, folks.
You know, and you're absolutely right. Now, your point of the guy that invented the Coca-Cola, what about how long has America thought white people put John Glenn on the moon?
Hello.
How many years?
Can you believe that?
Isn't that right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unreal. Unreal.
You know, I had a friend that told me when we were in high school, we didn't learn history. We learned his story.
That's right. That's right. And,
that's
you know, and so that brings the point that if a white kid asks him, his mama and daddy, why do we celebrate Black History Month? I wonder if they got the gall to tell them, because the history that you study in school, it's white.
It's all about you. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let me share something with you guys. Let me share something with you guys that are kind of off the subject. But when you bring up Black History, and this is our last day of Black History Month, over 15 or 20 years ago, I was in charge of the Black History activities at a high school that I was a teacher at. And we were developing a film regarding Black History. We were developing the film, and the film took longer to produce than we anticipated. So when it went over into March, and we actually played it for the whole school in the month of March, do you know parents called up there and complained about how long are we going to stay on Black History?
I believe you.
I could not believe the principal came down to me and told me that he had received phone calls about parents complaining that we were showing the video that was supposed to be produced in February, in March. And how long will their children go be inundated with that foolishness?
Ain't that something? Ain't that something?
I could not believe it. It was nothing but maybe March 1st, 2nd, or 3rd. It was within the first week of March. But they were so upset.
They think you're supposed to get a day, a Black History Day, and that's it.
and they don't deal with themselves.
And the sad part is because you got some of them that know more about Black history than I do, and that's it's pathetic. You know what I'm saying? It's pathetic that you got some people that know more about, especially, you know, a lot of white folks who really into, you know, the movement and whatever. It's a shame that they know more about me than I know about myself and my ancestors. The only thing I know about is what I've seen on TV, because I sure didn't get it in the books, and Audrey know that we didn't, because we was in the same classroom. We didn't know nothing about a Black history. And then now that we see Roots and Harriet Tubman, you know, and Martin Luther King, but all these other people about the lights, you know, the traffic lights, that the lights that make you stop and go on green. A Black man did that. You know, it's amazing that, you know, what all that we have accomplished, but we have no idea, and we use all this, the cotton gin, you know what I mean? The cotton, you know, all of that. Black people did all of this. So when you tell me about the Coca-Cola, I can believe that a brother did that, but to let them tell it, the brother ain't did nothing.
Nothing.
That's how come they so scared about this ACA. Now they want the Affordable Care Act. But they thought that was the Obamacare. Now these people are having a fit because they having a fit because they lose their health insurance because he gave you America Care, but they put that on Obama because they didn't want it to go anywhere. And that's the
because it came from my sister.
It ain't nothing but all these white folks that's sick. Most of them sick and got all these diseases and these ailments. They need this health care more so than I do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now it's hurting them. When it start hurting them, you're gonna feel their reef. You're gonna feel it, and they feeling it too. And Trump, he got a long ways to go because now they're gonna wake up and they're gonna realize that jumps the cat. You hurting your own kind because you ain't hurting the brothers and the sisters. Because we always, you know what I mean, we're survivors. Always have been, always will be. Just realize about, we want to keep the America Affordable Care Act. But what do you think that was? What do you think it is? Mm-hmm. Are you saying, but get rid of the Obamacare. Well, what? What? You know? Hello. So that's where we are.
It's more of them in poverty than it is anybody.
That's the key.
Somebody. Mm-hmm.
And on welfare too.
That's what I mean.
Every time I see welfare, I see nothing but Black folks. But I tell you what, when I went into retirement and I got this little part-time job at the grocery store, there's more of them coming there with them credit cards and that food stamp. It was, and I'm in a all white neighborhood, so don't tell me that it's all Black folks. I didn't even know how to put them on. They had to have a certain kind of milk, a certain kind of cheese, and I had to call the supervisor over every time because I didn't even know how to ring that stuff up. Do you understand? But then they tell you that it's the Black folks, and the Black folks, that's not true. You got all these people on welfare and on these assistance programs. They are white. Believe me. Trust me when I tell you that.
Wait until he has to visit Mississippi, the poor state, Alabama, and some of the Carolinas. The whole doggone line, 75% of them are going to be Caucasian.
Hello?
Cindy Poitier had that movie. He's going to be surprised as to who goes to dinner. Scott will be surprised who's going to be at the table.
All right, guys, we're going to take our final break and come back and have the final word for the day because we're at the end of the show and we're going to have our final word. So get together your thoughts for the final word. James C. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I want to encourage all of you to go to my website, jamestdeshay.com. That's jamestdeshay.com. Tell me what you think. Kick the tires and look around. And I hope that you're inspired by some of the things that I've written and that you will consider purchasing both of my books, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We're going to go to our callers and get the last word. Dee, what is your last word for today?
Well, I'm going to be kind for the remainder of the evening, and just want to thank you for your show, and I want to thank the ladies, the Fantastic Four, and sorry, Miss Kathy hung up. I hope I didn't say nothing that offended her. And I look forward to talking to y'all tomorrow.
All right, we'll be here. Kathy, you are there, and you're back with us. What is your final word for today?
Oh, Dino, you did not say anything to offend me. I was just listening. When I don't have anything to say, I just sit back and listen, and that's what I was doing. So my final thing is, regardless what the subject is or the matter, we still are family, even though I don't have an opinion on it. That's what I have to say.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm saving the best for last, because I think that Joyce and Audrey have brought a lot to the table today. I'm going to go with Joyce first. Joyce, what are your final thoughts for today?
Well, it's very simple. First of all, I would like to say I love everybody so much, and particularly you, Kathy, because you keep us all on the right track and you let us look at a different point of view. But the only thing that I wished that we could come together, most of the people and the actress and the actors that are empowered now, I think the light bulb is coming on where they can join their forces. Each year we be beginning to see a black person step up and show us a different point of view. So hopefully we can go forward each year so we can see more of us and our lifestyle. So hopefully next year it may be better for that. And yesterday was an excellent program. I enjoyed that so much. And I hope that, you know, we have more finance come on to give us an open point of view as to how we can excel too in the finance department.
All right, and I'm just going to throw this out here before I let Audrey have her final word. You know, I would love to see Angela Bassett in a love movie. You know, she was in What Does Love Got to Do with It? But I think Angela Bassett and a lot of other women like her could be outstanding in a love movie and in a romance movie. And so I would like to see people like her and some of the others of other actors who are out there. And listen, there is something to be said for seeing men in a positive light, because there are a lot of good fathers out there, there are a lot of good mothers out there, and there are a lot of good marriages out there, and we need to see more of them. Okay, Audrey, your final thoughts for today?
Okay, my final thoughts for today is I still think the winning was politically motivated. I think the LGBT community, they're here and they're here to stay. And I think it also pointed out that not all Muslims are terrorism. They can win the highest honor at the doggone Oscars. And I also think it broke the barrier somewhat of racism, to show that we can win. We can, even though, James, you don't like the picture, I don't think you really care for it, but it was a winner. And I guess at the end of the day, I don't know if you would say people are selling their souls, but you're either a winner or a loser, and this one was a winner.
Well, I just want to tell you, I just don't think that it portrayed us in a positive light. I take my hat off to the young man who was committed to telling his story, and I think a lot more people ought to be committed to telling their story. But I'm just going to go back to this point of view. Bill Cosby, and during that Bill Cosby show in that era, showed African-Americans as a doctor, a lawyer, and had with Dice children, and he was on top of the ratings for a long, long time. And I'm just saying, there's a segment of our society out there who can appreciate having a loving father, a loving husband, and a loving children in a movie that portrays African Americans in a different light and a more positive light. And so I think it's important that we recognize that there's an audience out there for our actresses and actors to portray a more positive part of who we are as a people. And so I just want to encourage that and say that I'm not unhappy about us winning, but I just believe that there is, you know, I don't want to see us always winning for negative portrayals of who we are as a people. And it is wonderful for having this opportunity and this platform to make sure that our voices are heard, and that's what's important most of all. So I want to appreciate you all for calling in. Call in tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, for another show, Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And write me at djames82@aol.com. Let me know what kind of stories you want to discuss on our show. Take care, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Okay, have a good evening.
So, what do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. Believe me, I am patiently waiting. Something wrong with me. Every time I'm alone with you, you keep talking about you loving me. Hey, baby, your foreplay just blows my mind. So why don't we stop all the talking, girl? Why don't we stop wasting time? I've had my share of lovers, some say I'm damn good. And if you think you can turn me out, maybe I wish that you would. Cause you keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. You say there's a lesson if you wanna cheat. Well, here I am, baby. Practice what you preach. But here I am, baby. Practice what you preach. Yeah, it's just you and me. So many things I can do to you, and so many ways I can flee. Why don't you start turning down the light and show me just what you can do? Hey, baby, I've had my share of lovers. Some of them were damn good. But if you think you can turn me out, then I just wish that you would. Cause you keep, oh, you just keep, no, you just keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. Say there's a lesson you wanna teach. Here I am, baby. Practice what you preach. Is it? Show me. still waiting. Practice what you preach.